Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Come see your locally owned and operated Linton Glass for all your glass needs. No matter what glass you need to replace, you can count on Linton Glass. Call us today at 601-835-4336 or find us on the web at lintonglass.com.
You're listening to the Rebel Report podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time. Here's your host, Michael Borky.
What is up, everybody? Welcome in on this Sunday night, a Sunday in which the Saints gave up half a hundred, but we're not here to talk about that. As embarrassing as that was, what the hell? The Saints are going to be looking for a new coach, I believe, at the end of the season. They should do it right now. Again, we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about Ole Miss football in this edition of the Rebel Report. My name is Michael Borky. Glad that you guys are here and with me on this Sunday night. So the idea, I think for me tonight, I've got a couple of just like very brief thoughts, but I want this to be about you guys. You know, had the post game last night. I want to hear from you and read your comments and let you guys drive the conversation. Let me turn the fan on. And let you guys drive the conversation tonight. That's what I want to see. I will say a couple of things, but then we'll just get into what you have to say about what happened on this edition of the Rebel Report, presented by the Gregory Law Firm. DJ Gregory has got you covered. If you're a small business owner and you need legal advice, or look, if you're a small business owner and you don't need legal advice today, but in case that day comes where you need somebody to guide you through it, save this phone number, 662-397-9799. Also personal injury and maybe some contract disputes as well. DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm, he's in Saltillo, Mississippi, but if you're in this state, he can service you anywhere. DJ Gregory, the Gregory Law Firm, 662-397-9799. You don't want to be left out in the cold, so save that number. You may not need them today, but that day may come, and you don't want to be lost. You want to get the best legal advice that is available to you. The Gregory Law Firm presenting the Rebel Report. Don't forget to subscribe as well if you're watching or listening and you have not subscribed yet. Pull out your phone, your favorite podcast app, search Rebel Report, subscribe, and leave a rating and a review. But you heard a lot of thoughts about the game in the post game from me. If you haven't, it's there in the podcast feed for you. But something that I've been thinking about a little bit today is let's rewind all the way back to the Wake Forest game. And remember what the takeaway from the Wake Forest game was. It's, yeah, they were dominant and a lot of good things happened, but they were sloppy. That was a sloppy game. You had a bad interception from Jackson Dart. They didn't execute well. There were too many penalties, things like that. And then Georgia Southern, it was the same thing. It was like, yeah, you know, they dominated, but it didn't look perfect. And at the time, it was like, maybe they're just bored. But the same thing happened, of course, with Kentucky. That was a sloppy game. Ole Miss did not execute well. They got outplayed and outcoached, and they made more mistakes than Kentucky did. Penalties, inopportune turnovers, the Trey Harris fumble, inopportune penalties, missed deep balls, bad play calling, bad offense, bad approach, et cetera, et cetera. Even South Carolina, they dominated the game, especially with the front six on defense, but think about the second half against South Carolina and what happened there. You had the Juice Wells fumble through the end zone, taking points off the board. You had a metric ton of missed deep balls from the quarterback. You had bad penalties. You had bad line play. South Carolina kept Ole Miss off the board with the exception of 3 points in that game. It was sloppy. They were not particularly sharp in that game. And then yet again with LSU, what cost Ole Miss the game? I saw somebody today say that it was the crowd. No. When it's the same symptoms as a home loss to a lesser team, it's not the crowd that lost the game. It's the same problem that has persisted over many weeks, including in dominating wins. They were sloppy yet again last night, like they were against Kentucky, like they were against South Carolina at times, like they were even against Wake Forest in that dominating win. You had a missed field goal. You had a fumble in your own territory as time is expiring in the first half. You had a really, really, really bad interception, especially when you see the out wide image that's going around of Caden Priestcorn without a defender within 20 yards of him. You had a holding call that negated a first down in the red zone. You had a fourth and about this far in the red zone, and the play call was a 160-pound running back running up the middle, in which Jordan Watkins was lined up at tight end, and his responsibility was to block a defensive end. You had inopportune penalties. You had mental mistakes. You had bad quarterback play. You had sloppy, sloppy football. What happened last night, and Lane Kiffin had his media op earlier today where he talked about, you know, you change a play or two here and the game, the outcome is different. And everybody's talking about how tough the team is, but they didn't make the plays, and therefore, you know, that's not the case. But I don't think that that's accurate, honestly, because they last night again played sloppy football. If Centarian Perkins is able to bring Nussmeier down on that final drive, and LSU doesn't score a touchdown, we would still be talking about the sheer volume of mental mistakes that they have made. And yes, they would still be alive, but that is not a team that played like one that is a championship caliber team. And that is what they said that they were. And so what happened last night is not exclusive to last night. And yes, Lane Kiffin is right that, you know, you change a player or two and they win that game. But the symptoms have existed for a while. And the question is, why is that happening? Why are you making more mistakes than your opponent? Why are you playing sloppy football regardless of venue? Because it wasn't crowd noise that caused Ole Miss to play sloppy football, because then how do you explain Kentucky? How do you explain Wake Forest? How do you explain the second half of South Carolina when the student section cleared out? This is a persistent issue. There is, it's either a lack of attention to detail, a lack of focus. I don't know what it is. I'm not smart enough to know. I'm not inside those walls to be able to tell you. But they are playing sloppy, stupid football. And that is not something that just started last night, regardless of the outcome of the game changes if you just change one play over. You had a drop touchdown pass, a penalty that negated a first down, a horrible play call on a fourth and one, a horrible decision on an interception. The Bentley situation is an absolute joke. It is a lot of consistent symptoms of a larger problem right now. This, you know, they're at the bye week. It's October 13th. The season's not over. But to this point, this is Lane Kiffin's worst coaching job in his 4.5 years at Ole Miss. And we'll see if they're able to recover it. I think that they have been, and I don't think it's really arguable, that they have been the most talented team on every field they've played on so far this year, but it doesn't matter how talented you are if you are as sloppy as they have been. So we'll get to your comments right after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online at absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. Tell them I sent you. You'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. You tell them what you need and what your budget is, and they will find a solution for you on me. That's Advantage Business Systems, absms.com. The podcast is also brought to you by Priority One Bank. They make you their priority with their online banking platform. It's a one-stop shop. All you need is an internet connection, and you can do whatever it is that you want to do with your money, because Priority One Bank makes you their priority. So we're just going to read some comments, and that'll be the driving conversation with you guys tonight. I'm really glad that you're here. Happy that you're here. And let's get to it. Ole Miss doesn't even make it to the bye week and disaster is starting to set in. That was about the most backbreaking way they could have lost on Saturday. Yes. I mean, you know, devastating losing in overtime like that for sure. I don't mean to beat a dead horse. They didn't deserve to win the game last night the way they played. But they didn't deserve to win. Simply put, and they got beat, and they deserve to get beat with the way they played. Fun fact, Ole Miss is averaging 23 points per game in conference play, which you believe is the bottom half of the league. And it's not like South Carolina is a defensive juggernaut. I know they've got two really good ends, but LSU certainly is not. Kentucky just lost to Vanderbilt. The situation with the offense is crazy to me, because I know, like, the simple answer is they don't have good enough offensive line play for what they're trying to do offensively. The offensive line is not good enough, and I understand that. That makes sense. They're not performing well enough up front on the offensive line. That does not explain the Bentley situation, which we talked about at length last night. That is inexcusable, what has happened with the running back position. But there's also ways that you can alleviate issues on the offensive line. There are ways that you can scheme around an offensive line that's having trouble protecting the quarterback. And yet again last night, long developing vertical passing game in which you're asking your quarterback, you're either asking your quarterback to hold on to the ball as long as he does, or he's holding on to the ball too long. Either way, that is on coaching and on quarterback, but also on coaching, especially when you've got this really good tight end that you simply do not use. I mean, Caden Lee had a really big night, but they can do so much more, I think, to alleviate the issues on the offensive line to produce better offense. I mean, I know this hasn't been a big part of their offense, but like a screen game. My gosh, the Bucs on like a 3rd and 16 got the Saints on a beautifully timed screen. The Saints brought pressure, and it was a perfectly timed play call. They don't do anything like that. Again, they don't use the tight end at all. They don't play their best running back, who's a home run hitter, for reasons that there's absolutely no excuse for. So, yes, offensive line play is not good enough, but no, it's not like they're doing everything they possibly can from a play calling perspective to help their offensive line and their quarterback. Jackson Dart is struggling right now. Struggled some last night as well. Help your quarterback out. Look at what Texas did after Quinn Ewers' rough start. Pitch and catch, easy completions, simple stuff. Let him establish a rhythm instead of, here, sit in the pocket for 5 seconds behind an offensive line that can't protect you and just throw vertically into double coverage. And again, I know that there have been instances where he's made those choices and there have been guys open underneath. Then you need to coach better and get your quarterback to take those opportunities as well. So I'm not absolving blame from Dart for not seeing that, but they're also asking the offensive line to do things that they're clearly not capable of doing consistently. It is that the offensive approach is mystifying considering who the head coach of the team is. And you guys know me by now, Charlie Weiss sucks. Charlie Weiss sucks. Kiffin's got a headset and a play sheet. And he's the offensive-minded head coach. He's the offensive mind. And so if he is not stopping it, he's endorsing it. So they probably do need some fresh perspective from the play caller. But Lane Kiffin is the head coach. If they're struggling on offense, that's where you point first. Vandy has a better SEC record than we do, and their coach has a win against the number one team. Kiffin can't win big games. See, I've pushed back against that because he has won big games at Ole Miss. This season, Ole Miss has been poorly prepared. You're not late. We're just still waiting to see if a 185-pound back can make it on runs up the middle for an entire game. We should contact Oxford police and file a missing persons report on Bentley. I talked about it some last night, and a lot. It's just that there has been players on that team that have been arrested for allegedly committing actual crimes, and they have been punished less than whatever Bentley did. And honestly, he doesn't pass block good enough. That is not an excuse when they were playing a walk-on that, with all due respect to the young man, is not an SEC back ahead of him until October 12th, and they only played Bentley because they had to because of injury. There is no other explanation. Parrish playing is fine. Like, he's had a good year. But last night, Bentley very clearly was and is the better back. He has not lost a step, so that excuse is out. Whatever the doghouse thing he found himself in should have ended in week three. But instead, against Kentucky, you played only for a few snaps, a walk-on that doesn't have it at this level. And Parrish, who was limping around in that game, and you kept on the bench a running back that is a very clear home run hitter that can break open a game, and he did it last night. And even after he did it last night, they still didn't play him that much. He only got 11 touches. He had a 50-yard touchdown run. On his other 10 touches, he had 54 yards? Over 5 yards per carry, but they only gave him 10 other carries besides his big home run ball. So that's malpractice. It's stupid and it's inexplicable. There is no rational explanation for why he has not been playing. He is their best running back. He is a home run hitter, and they have kept him off the field intentionally for reasons I do not know for sure. But unless he committed murder, then he should have played against Kentucky. And frankly, him getting the bulk of the carries against Kentucky probably is the difference. Him not getting the bulk of the carries last night very well could have been the difference. And I know that's oversimplifying a more complex issue with the team, but that is, there is no other explanation besides something that is dumb. That's the truth. Anything to read into Kiffin's reaction to Kevin Smith after the Bentley big touchdown run? Probably, but the head coach has ultimate veto power. If your running back's coach is not playing the right running back, you tell him to. You're the head coach. So basketball coming soon, huh? Yes, absolutely. And the team is possibly going to be quite good. A lot of really good pieces there. The team has been incapable of finishing, which is a direct contrast from last season. Complete opposite of last season. Mississippi State is averaging more points per game in conference play than Ole Miss. Yes, they are. And they have played Georgia and they have played Texas. The offensive line without Judkins has to be the worst you've seen in the Kiffin era. Is there any reasonable excuse right now as to why Bentley isn't getting more play time? He was clearly the best running back out there last night. No. Nope. Nope. They played Judkins last year. See, and that's what all of the stuff, the doghouse thing, like there's rumors about him missing meetings and stuff a few weeks ago or whatever. Judkins threatened to hold out of a game for more NIL money, and he played. Not only did he played a lot. He was a locker room issue last year, and if you believe, allegedly, threatened to hold out of a game for more money. They called it a rib injury, I think is what they called it. But he threatened to hold out of a game, and he played. So no, there is no reasonable excuse. None. Zero. None. Absolutely none. Lebby's a better play caller than Weiss. Not surprising. State is averaging more. I agree with that, but also Kiffin's got a headset and a play sheet. If he doesn't like what's being called, then he needs to take over and change it. Positive spin for an Ole Miss fan. Win out, 10-2, very likely will make the playoff. The goals are still in front of you in the new model. They are. I just don't think that they will achieve them with the way that they play. You're right. I mean, especially with how the losses are, and like Alabama, Alabama's going to lose again. Tennessee's going to lose again. The Big 12 is going to eat its own. I still think a 10-2 SEC team will make the playoff. So they are not eliminated. A third loss eliminates them. But I don't see them doing that. They could. It's possible. I don't see it happening. And you like Dart, but it's obvious to you he is not taking the next step. That interception he threw is inexcusable. He has regressed. I don't think they're helping him much, but he has. There's regression there. And frankly, I know he was upset. I don't like the optics of his press conference last night. You know, hood down and just very, you know, you are a highly paid professional football player now. That is what he is. I don't know what all of you make, but I'm willing to bet that he makes more than 99% of the people listening to this, including the person talking right now. Significantly more. Significantly more than I do. And significantly more than most of you. And that's not a shot at you guys. It just shows how much money that he's making. And I thought the optics of his postgame was not good last night. What are my thoughts on Diego Pounds and his production? I think it's not good enough. It is absolutely not good enough. Not good enough at right tackle either. Penalty machine on the right side. None of it's been good enough up front. Negative spin. You've played three teams, 500 or better, and you're 1-2. Worse, Mississippi State, a full gut job rebuild, has a better scoring offense and SEC play against two top five teams. Yes. You were fighting that fight in my mentions last night, Chase. I remember that. But you're not wrong, though. I mean, dude, which offense looks better right now? There's truth to that. Still not sure if Dart has taken a step back or he's just constantly scared for his life behind that paper bag offensive line. Yeah, but being scared or whatever does not excuse the – I mean, I guess a better thrown ball could have been a touchdown on the interception, but look at the volume of LSU players around that ball when you have Priest Korn on a check down with literally nobody around him. It's a bad decision in a spot where you didn't need to make that decision. They left at a minimum 16 to 20 points on the board. Absolutely. Enjoy the Citrus Bowl trip with all the backups. Yeah. Offense kind of reminds you of Longo lately, not using the tight ends, endless deep shots. That is a very apt comparison. Those light-up wristbands they gave to LSU fans turned into projectiles. It got a little violent at the end of the game in there. Oh, I imagine so. I imagine so. Juice Wells is on a milk carton. And you know, the thing about Juice Wells, like, he is so good on little quick hitters. I mean, line him up in the backfield. You do jet sweeps, little things like that. Just that the offense is so uncreative. It seems so predictable and simple. You've got Juice Wells, who's so good in space, and what you do with him is just throw it to him down the field and just hope he can figure it out. I mean, they threw it to him in double coverage last night. It's just a bad decision, and that's not his strength. His man, it's all bad, and it just seems overly simple, and I know it's not, but man, LSU just looked like they understood exactly what was coming. But analytics said that was okay. The going for it on fourth down in that spot is absolutely a fine decision. The decision to go for it there is fine. It's the having a tiny running back line up in a situation where your small wide receiver is lined up essentially at tight end and he is tasked at blocking a defensive end. How else do you think that was going to go? And you have your Pegues package, which is perfect. Like, it does not get stopped. And instead, you run Parrish up the gut with Watkins blocking a defensive end. That's the problem with the fourth down decision near the LSU end zone, deep in the red zone. That's the problem there. It wasn't going for it. It was when you go for it, that's what you decide to do. LSU's not some great team. They're decent, but that's a game you cannot lose. But you have. They had no business winning that game until you let them hang in that long, 100%. Do you think the biggest coaching malpractice to your non-coach eyes, the underutilization of Bentley? You said at the forefront of the Judkins rumors that you let him walk for the price because of what you've seen from Bentley to take over as a feature back and then supplement off of him. And he showed you exactly why last night that was in a, like that decision made sense. He is explosive. And I mean, even on the runs where there was nothing there, he still, he fell forward. He was able to make guys miss. Like giving him 11 carries last night is still malpractice. You think when Kevin Smith recruited Parrish back to Ole Miss, he promised him more playing time over Bentley? Just your hunch. I mean, there's something like that going on. When is the baseball season? Don't skip over basketball. And to be honest with you, there's a real chance that the basketball team is much better than the baseball team. There's a real chance that maybe I could be wrong, but that I've got to see it to believe it with this baseball team after the last 2 years they've been the worst in the SEC. You know, they did some good things in the portal, but others in the league did better. So I'll believe that they have turned it around and they're going to be a postseason team and all that when I see that actually happen. I'm certainly not going to predict that. Don't skip over basketball. There's a chance that this basketball team at Ole Miss is good. The Bentley saga has driven fans into a breaking point on this season, and rightfully so. Absolutely. And then the NIL component, right? Because the fans stepped up and gave Lane Kiffin everything that he needed to win. They paid. And see, that's the difference in this era is you guys, you raised millions of dollars for this roster. Millions of dollars for this coach. After he used your lack of money to leverage the Auburn situation. And before the last two games, he is trolling you guys about the Florida job and then not playing his best running back. I mean, like that's another thing. I like usually on Twitter, he cracks me up, but he, for 2 weeks in a row, putting on Instagram and Twitter a picture of an alligator is trolling his own fan base. That's what he's doing before kickoff of these games. It just little things like that. Just there's a lot of unseriousness right now. If Kevin Smith is the one preventing Bentley from playing, he needs to be fired yesterday, and Lane needs to reexamine how much he trusts his position coaches or just tell them what to do. Think about the recent national championship winning head coaches. Would Jim Harbaugh play a walk-on over a running back like Ulysses Bentley? Would Jim Harbaugh allow that to happen? Would Kirby Smart, who's in trouble for shoving Mississippi State's quarterback, and he's not in trouble. He didn't get in trouble. Nothing happened. He should be because, sidebar, the coach whose program has had an impossibly high volume of arrests is melting down on the sidelines to the point where he shoves the opposing quarterback. Maybe those two things are related. Now, Kirby's a great coach. Obviously, he's a championship-winning coach. But maybe those two things, maybe 1+1=2 there. But anyway, he's a championship-winning coach. Would he allow that to happen? Would Nick Saban have done that? No. But it's happening there. Good luck to Walker Jones and the collective this offseason. Gosh, I would love to know what his email inbox has looked like today. And now the bye week couldn't come at a worse time. Absolutely, because it's just going to marinate. I mean, this will just marinate for a while. Colin, thank you so much for the super chat, man. Appreciate you very, very much. Thank you, Colin. And you say, you have to say this, Dart is not elite. Kiffin cannot win big games. The season is a failure. And why are the playmakers not getting the ball? And no, Dart is not playing like an elite quarterback. There's no doubt about it. He is missing deep passes that are there. There's no doubt about that either. But your last sentence, I think, is also important. They're not doing a good enough job of getting their playmakers the ball in space. They're not doing a good enough job of being intentional about the tight end position. They're not doing a good enough job of helping their struggling quarterback. Jackson Dart's not Chad Kelly. Chad Kelly, for all the stupidity, that was an elite quarterback. He had an elite skill set. He's not Chad Kelly. And that's okay. He doesn't have to be to make this offense successful. But they're not doing a good enough job of setting him up for success either. You just don't understand the reasoning then. In what world is he running back three? In the Ole Miss football world. But not in the real world. He didn't get beat out. Man, that was the line that you guys were fed for weeks, is Matt Jones just beat him out. No, he didn't. Nope, he's not better. And it's a shame that Matt Jones now is like a point of contention, because he doesn't deserve that. It's a great story. Has clearly, very clearly worked really hard. But how much of the loss is due to incompetent play calling? A good bit. The Ole Miss defense is still really good, and Pete Golding deserves none of this. The only knock on them is they can't finish. I mean, multiple fourth downs on that final drive. They give up too many third and longs, but they played well enough to win last night. 100% they played well enough to win last night. When you give up 23 points in Tiger Stadium, and three of them were because you fumbled deep in your own territory right before the half, then you did a good enough job defensively to win. Defense should have them 3-0. Missing Judkins, whether he was a cancer or not, has severely undercut the running game. I agree, but I disagree if Bentley would have been playing the entire time. Defense is playing lights out for the most part. Some weak spots in the secondary, but overall, the D has done everything it has been asked of them. Losses are on offense, 100% agreed. Lane might be trusting too much in Kevin Smith. He needs to override his decisions. If that's what's going on, absolutely. This was Kiffin's chance to make his mark on college football. Had an entire offseason and four gimme games. Getting out coached is inexcusable. And as I said last night, that the championship stuff started from within. I thought this team, I mean, this team is extremely talented. Like, the talent is there. They are talented enough to be undefeated right now. They should be, but they're not. So, again, I'm not Hugh Freezing. They're not. They didn't coach well enough. They didn't play well enough. But there was a reason that I and a lot of people thought the team was going to be very good. It started from within. They talked about it. They embraced it. They did the last dance thing. That started there first. It's not like people created some unrealistic expectations out of them. Not at all. You commented on a post of Callie Priesthorn and asked why Caden wasn't getting the ball and said you felt sorry for him. And she said, I too would love this answer. Coaching problem? Oh, maybe somebody need, not you, somebody needs to stop saying things on social media. Nothing good comes from that. Then I'm speaking to myself there too. There are things that I shouldn't say on social media. 100%. But, you know, as a player's wife, maybe there's some things that you shouldn't put on social media. That's all. Kennedy got picked on, plays hard, but had a rough one last night at times. 100%. You like Jackson, but Corral probably wills him to a win in that game. He was such a baller, and it all falls at the feet of Kiffin. The roster is one of the best in the SEC. NIL is healthy here, and he proved in the previous seasons he could win the games he's supposed to, not this year. Why did Lane tweet a gator? 2 weeks in a row. Well, I guess last week was on Instagram. I feel like I'm a hypocrite because I do like a lot of, like, some stuff he does on Twitter is really, really funny. But the gator thing is, if he doesn't understand that that is trolling his own fan base, he needs to understand that. He needs to cut that out. He won't. I mean, it's Lane Kiffin, but he should know. And if he doesn't, he's an idiot. He should know that there is clear connection, whether it's real or not, for him and the Florida job that will be coming open soon. And before a loss, you're tweeting a picture of a gator. And then last week, I guess it was Instagram, you're putting online pictures of alligators. Why are you doing that? What is the point of that when you have a fan base that has fully funded your very expensive underachieving roster? Why are you doing that to them? You already whine and complain about them leaving blowout games early. Why are you doing that? There's nothing that could come out of that is productive in any way, shape, or form. It's dumb, but offensive line is struggling to hold blocks, so let's run deep routes that take a long time to develop. That's a recipe for success. Absolutely. Yeah. Makes no sense. It's a really great group of players, but it's not a great team. 2021 and 23 were great teams with only good groups of players. I see that. The trolling by Lane is cute while he's winning, not so much when he's losing. The long developing plays are mind-boggling. Dart holds onto the ball way too long. He does. He needs to get rid of it, but some of that also is a product of play calling. They're long developing pass plays. Do you think the NFL style of soft practices and training camp has contributed to the sloppiness? Possibly, but here's my counter, though, is the front six on defense is excellent. They are physical. They're disciplined. They tackle well. Now, they struggled getting to the quarterback a little bit, although I think that they 2 weeks in a row, they need to get less conservative, bringing pressure on these big downs. I think too often they're expecting to get home with three or even four, but I think they need to bring additional guys. That's the one knock. Like, they didn't get after Nussmeier, but the front six is physical. They're really good at stopping the run, and they tackle well. So I don't know. I mean, it's certainly a fair question, though. Paris was getting blown up on pass blocking all night. Don't want to hear that Bentley doesn't pass block. Exactly. Stop long routes. Jackson can only throw 40 yards. He can throw further than that, but definitely not consistently right now. Definitely not consistently right now. The offense, despite having returning talent, a new proven talent everywhere, can't do much at all if Trey Harris isn't on the field. Another one, use tight ends more, absolutely. Other quarterbacks move under pressure and stay in the pocket to get hit. Let's say Ole Miss goes 9-3 and the Lane 2, quote, rumors are in full force. Keith Carter needs to stand firm on another raise. Last year versus LSU is the only win against a team that finished above 500 in the SEC. Barring a win out, if they finish 9-3, do you really want to increase the salary? Do you really want to increase the salary of somebody that underachieved with the roster that fans raised millions of dollars for? You're already, I mean, that's a difficult thing for Keith Carter to consider, if that's what it comes down to. Is Lane's done a lot of really good things at Ole Miss, but are you really going to fight Florida and give a 30% salary increase again after an underachievement? Is that something that you're willing to do, or do you not fight that fight and take a risk on something else? I mean, maybe you can't afford to not fight that. I don't know. But if they underachieve with this roster, that decision is different than what you thought it would be 6 weeks ago. You heard Jeffrey Wright say in the postgame with Parham and Siski that he got a tip that Jordan Watkins threatened a redshirt before the South Carolina game. That's a dangerous sign moving forward. That wouldn't surprise me. I don't know if that's true or not, but I have no reason whatsoever, and I would not doubt Jeffrey at all. I'm a fan of that. I like him personally. So I don't think that he would make that up. I just don't know that independently, but that wouldn't surprise me. They weren't using him. And that is college football today. They weren't using him. Now, I mean, I guess players could opt out for the rest of the season, but everybody's played more than four games now, so you can't redshirt anymore. Although I guess Key Lawrence is. Could be wrong on that, but I think that that's what's happening. I think that's what's happening. But everybody else has already played, so they could opt out, which would be a really bad look for their pro prospects right now. Lose again and see what happens. God knows. I mean, they'll have 45 players for the bowl game, maybe. You don't think that you can take anything away from last season? That was very impressive what Ole Miss did. LSU and Penn State were great wins. They were. We may learn a lot about the way heavily utilizing transfers affects culture going into a bye week season looking lost with those one-year transfers. Will those one-year transfers phone it in? They certainly could. I mean, but it was a transfer-heavy team a year ago, and they overcame adversity and played well throughout the season and ended up having a great year. I mean, they were down 9 in the fourth quarter to LSU after they lost to Alabama, and they were facing a third and long, got a first down, and went and ended up winning that game. So the culture of the team was really good last year, and it was built on transfers. Charlie Weiss isn't it. I understand, and like that, they probably need a new voice there, but the offensive-minded head coach is to blame for the offense first before you get to anything else, in my opinion. Is Juice Wells the biggest bust in the Ole Miss NIL era? I think that he's not being used correctly, personally. Think they're going to beat Oklahoma? I kind of do too, but take a loss in Fayetteville. We know they'll lose to Georgia. Even that can cause a spiral. Oh, it absolutely can. Death Valley may be the most difficult to play. It gives you chills. But here's the thing. I mean, if they just execute early, Death Valley clears out by the third quarter, but they didn't. There's no allegedly with Judkins. That was all true. That's straight from the locker room. We supposedly spent his money to bring in a lot of talent at least. Yeah. That was a very damning look for Dart in the postgame. I am way behind on these messages. I got to go fast. Yeah, I really did not like that. And that's supposed to be your team leader, you know, and then you look at Pittsburgh, for example. But I guess they won the game, so that makes it easier. But still, I mean, Pitt's quarterback after the game, you know, they beat Cal. So again, it's easier after a win, but he's standing up at the podium. He played like crap and he's, you know, I played like a freshman today. That's what happened it starts with me. I played poorly. I played like a freshman today different optics. And again, I know they won, so it's not really fair, but can't believe the amount of holding calls that were called on Ole Miss and the amount that were missed for LSU. Do you just have red and blue glasses on or what? I mean, I think Walter Nolan gets hold on basically every play. Basically every play he gets held on. There were definitely some missed holding calls on LSU, but sometimes the Ole Miss tackles make it too obvious sometimes. They do. Does Kiffin go with Simmons at all this season outside of an injury to Dart? No. Nolan really is that guy. Was getting held all night and was still blowing things up. He is worth every single penny. He's worth every penny. Every penny. Thoughts on the targeting no call? I don't think that should be a targeting ejection. But I don't understand how that wasn't targeting based on the rule. I mean, I know the quarterback slid into him, but he lowered his head. Made contact with the crown of his helmet. He got very lucky there. I don't think a play like that should lead to an ejection at all, but he got very lucky for sure. Anyone else think would Ole Miss kick the field goal instead of scoring to put it away, that LSU would drive the field and end up winning the game because you did? Cold Alchia, thank you for being in here, man. Appreciate you. And he thinks that Ole Miss can, he's an LSU fan, thinks that Ole Miss could win out. Says Georgia is questionable, and so is Oklahoma. Good game with a lot of exclamation points. Man, I see your Saints avatar. I liked a lot of what I saw from Rattler today. He's not perfect. Of course not. He's a rookie, but my goodness. Dennis, the only thing that you can say about Dennis Allen's era as a head coach for the Saints is that the defenses have always been good, and his quit on him today. It's over. Give the team to Kubiak, see what he's got. It's over. You're not overcoming what happened today. His defense quit on him, and that's the only thing he's been good at as a head coach. You had no faith they would get a stop. They did more than enough, and the offense let them down, absolutely. Is it just you, or do the two most brilliant offensive minds play calling look like they are in panic mode anytime they are in a big moment? LSU, Ole Miss is an afterthought, not a real rival. Also, LSU storms the field. Yeah. You are officially a rival if you storm a field. You can't do the moral superiority if you storm the field. Three of the last four field stormings that LSU's done has been a win over Ole Miss. They're officially rivals now. It's okay. Feels like Kiffin completely changes his mindset when Ole Miss isn't playing from behind. It's frustrating. I've got to go really fast on these comments because we're kind of out of time here and I'm way behind. So I'm just going to rapid fire. Here we go. It's always wonderful when you lose a game where your opponent led for 0 seconds. Another one, conservative, scared, playing not to lose instead of playing to win. It's weird. You take chances on Bentley's fumble problems for his explosiveness or his alleged fumble problems, especially when he wasn't one that fumbled in deep in their own territory. LSU fans need to acknowledge that Ole Miss's rivalry is bigger to them than they lead on. Yeah. No matter what the cause for this catastrophe, it's inexcusable. Are you crazy for thinking that the season is a failure at this point? No, you're not. The grade that Lane Kiffin would receive so far is an F. They have failed to this point. They, you know, it's not over. They can overcome it. But to this point, it is an absolute failure. If Ole Miss goes 9-3, it may take, or worse, it may take a new head coach to avoid a massive drop-off in NIL memberships. Yeah, if they lose three or fewer games, fundraising is going to be very difficult. It will be. What would I set the record at right now, over under 8 wins? I would push that. I would say that they're going to lose 2 more games at the moment. You hope Kiffin understands the gravity of the situation. Fans only get 12 chances to see their team, 6 at home, well, 7 at home. If we finish the season with a bunch of opt-outs, that will be a very hard sell to fans, absolutely. When the season is over, it'll be interesting to do a case study between this team and 2009. At least that team didn't quit. We'll see about this one. Lane needs to get serious. The Twitter posts are pathetic. Complaining about the fans is ridiculous. He's chastised us and told us to have better expectations in 2020. He has failed to live up to them. May look back and say the stage was too big for Lane and this coaching staff. I will say, I know I'm trying to do rapid fire, but Ole Miss has given him everything he needs to exceed or to succeed. This is not an Ole Miss problem anymore. He'll say it. Jaden Kennedy is a clear liability. At times, he certainly can be. If players opt out, don't they lose their collective contracts? I believe that that is the case, yes. Now, some of those guys will go to the NFL, but that's something to think about. And opt-outs during the season are viewed very poorly for some NFL teams. I know that for a fact. I don't know about all of them, but I know some of them view it very unfavorably. Even bowl games, NFL teams, some view them unfavorably, despite what media thinks. Charlie Weiss needs to go. I'm sure we'll see people say this is why Lane can't win at Ole Miss when the blame for this falls on him. Exactly. You're going to see some of that narrative, and it'll be wrong. He's gotten everything he's needed. Might want to have a look at Kiffin's 2012 USC team for how he has underachieved in the past. Kiffin didn't troll about the Auburn job in 22, but he was interested in it. Kind of did. I mean, he leaked a bunch of stuff to Chris Lowe. And he also, I mean, during the week did the stuff with the Sokolov. And no, he handled that poorly too. Freeze got Ole Miss on probation. Yes, he did. It was quite some time ago, though. Bottom line takeaway, 10th in the league through 7 weeks is dramatically under expectation, and it's not that the expectations were unrealistic. They were not unrealistic. Absolutely not. Lane City tour of opposing team cities and yoga sessions before big games is bad optics. That doesn't bother me near as much as the alligator pictures. That to me is an issue. Lane having a breakup midseason with his girlfriend should give him way more time to focus on his job. I did not know that that was a thing. Considering what is left on the schedule, a 9-3 record is one that you would take. At least they wouldn't spiral out. Oof. If one game is the difference in Kiffin leaving, then he'd be gone anyways. Yeah, I agree. You don't want Lane gone. He's elevated the program and think that that's not really up for discussion. He's lost too much goodwill with the fans to play the flirting job game again this season. I think they're going to play hard on defense for at least the time being. I agree with that. They've got draft guys who should keep putting it on tape 100%. Trigg is the biggest Ole Miss bust in the NIL era. That's a good one. Juice Wells isn't a bust. He's just been wasted. If Kiffin leaves and Golding is promoted, what's your selling point to Simmons? I don't think that that would happen if it leaves like this. Also, the faking injuries narrative has completely taken over the season and program. I saw LSU fake multiple last night, but no one will pay attention to anyone but Ole Miss. They made a mockery of it, and so that's what happens. Do I think Dart misses Judkins yet? I do not. From a personal perspective, no, not at all. Not at all. I think they just need to play the better running back that they have on the current roster. Sloppy play, what happens if you go through real spring football? The spring is not why this is happening now. Even yesterday, at least in my opinion, the spring practice is not why this is happening now. And the four non-conference games are also not why this is happening now either, I don't think. I think that they were sloppy in the non-conference games. There is something amiss here. It's not just, see, when we, maybe I'm wrong. I think that this goes back to coaching more so than, and not like coaching in the moment, and not did they go through a real spring practice. Even yesterday, State faked an injury and they still referenced Ole Miss. That statement on Friday was bizarre. You're a collection of good players, not a team. Appreciate you. Thank you. Yeah, this live chat is always a great space to air out the thoughts on the program. Yeah. Please like the video. All right. Got through it. Thank you, guys. Thank you so much. I appreciate you for being here, as always. We'll be back on Tuesday for sure, as we always are. But thank you for being here tonight. It is late, and we went long, but that's okay. Just wanted to read as many messages as possible. Thank all of you for being here, and we'll be back on Tuesday at 8 o'clock. See you then.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.